නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So as you all know, we were discussing Bahudhatuka Sutta, which is the 115th Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, and which explains about many kinds of elements. But it is not limited to the elements, and then Buddha goes on to discuss various other aspects as well. Actually, the reason behind this sutta is kind of a comment made by the Buddha, where he mentioned Yani kanichi bhikkave bhayani uppajjanti sabbani tani balato uppajjanti no panditato. So if there are any kinds of fears arise in this world because of any humans, actually those are arising because of the fools, some bad people, but not because of the wise people, good people. Similarly, yekechi upaddava uppajjanti sabbete balato uppajjanti no panditato. If there are any kind of trouble arising in the world, it happens because of the bala, a kind of a fool, kind of a bad person, but not because of a wise person. Yekechi upasagga uppajjanti sabbete balato uppajjanti no panditato. If there are any kind of a calamity happens in the world, that also happens because of a bala, a kind of a fool, a bad person, but not because of a wise person. So this was the theme that Buddha mentioned in this sutta as the beginning point. And then he make an advice. Pandita bhavissama vimansakati evang hivo bhikkave sikkitabbanti. So he advised the venerable monks, saying, therefore bhikkhus, you should train yourself. We shall be wise men, we shall be inquirers. So his advice is that everyone, whoever following him, have to be wise, and again they should be inquirers, not merely superficially accepting things, rather they have to inquire about things. So once this statement was made, so Venerable Ananda asked the interesting question, Kittavatanuko bhante pandito bhikkhu vimansakoti alang vachanayati. So bhante, how a person is possible to mention as a inquirer, as a wise person. Then Buddha explains about four skills in order for someone to be mentioned as a wise person, an inquirer. Dhatu kusalocha hoti, ayatana kusalocha hoti, paticha samuppada kusalocha hoti, thana thana kusalocha hoti. Dhatu kusalocha hoti, he should be skilled in the elements. So we already discussed about that aspect. So various different kinds of definitions are there related to the elements, and those are also discussed. And again, those definitions have to be not only theoretically understood, rather even we need to practically experience them, thoroughly understand them. So those also to some extent we have discussed. Then ayatana kusalocha hoti, one should be skilled in the bases. So that means different kinds of bases are there. Those bases should be known. Chakku rupa, that means the eye and the forms or visible objects, then the ear and the sounds, nose and the odors, tongue and the taste, body and the tangibles, and then mind and mind objects. So these are the basically the two or the six categories of bases. So that also one should mindfully understand their operation, their arising, their participation, and then their passing away. And what are the resultant defilements, if there are any. So likewise, we discussed about this aspect, about the ayatana, about the bases during the last week. So that part also to some extent we have covered. So the next one is actually about the patisamuppada kusalo. That means skilled in the patisamuppada, skilled in the dependent origination. So we can start that today. So Venerable Ananda is asking the question, Kittavatapana bhante paticha samuppada kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati. Venerable Sir, in what way can a bhikkhu be called skilled in dependent origination. So dependent origination is something that you all have heard. Patisamuppada is something you all have heard. So not only that, we simply merely have to hear it, rather we need to understand several aspects of Patisamuppada. So one important aspect of it is the governing principle. The governing principle of the Patisamuppada, it's called idappacceta. Imasmin sati idam hoti, imasuppada idam uppajjati. Imasmin asati idam na hoti, imasa nirodha idam niruddhati. When this exists, that comes to be. With the arising of this, that arises. When this does not exist, that does not come to be. With the cessation of this, that ceases. Actually, Most Venerable Katakurunda Thero translate this as, when this exists, this comes to be. Instead of when this exists, that comes to be, he promotes highlights the immediacy, and it's a point happening right now at right this place. It is not, we typically use the term that to indicate something somewhere else, something happened somewhere else, which is not here itself. But the points or the results happening in the Parisamuppada, all are happening here right now. So therefore he emphasized, when this exists, this comes to be. With the arising of this, this arises. When this does not exist, this does not come to be. And with the cessation of this, this also ceases. So when we are telling like this, actually it's difficult to understand what we are talking. So let me take an example. So we all are familiar with the formula, with some 12 links. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya namarupam, namarupa paccaya salayatanam, salayatana paccaya passo, passa paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanha, tanha paccaya upadanam, upadana paccaya baho, baho paccaya jati, jati paccaya jaramaranam, soka parideva, dukkha domana supayasa sambhavanti. So basically, what we need to understand is that there are 12 links typically we can remember when we are discussing about Patisamuppada. And let me use the principle to show you how it is being used in between these two links. When avijja exists, sankhara comes to be. And with the arising of avijja, sankharas arise. And then when avijja does not exist, sankharas can't come to be, does not come to be. And with the cessation of avijja, the sankhara also ceases. So that is how we can include or apply this principle to the link between avijja and sankhara. Now let's take a simple one. Say passapaccaya vedana, that means the feeling is completely dependent on the contact. Passapaccaya vedana. So if we apply the same principle to there, so passa arises or passa exists, then vedana comes to be, feeling comes to be. That means when contact exists, then only the feelings come to be. And with the arising of contact, feeling also arise. And when contact does not exist, feelings can't come to be, do not come to be. And with the cessation of contact, feelings also cease. So likewise, we can apply this principle to any link. So therefore, each link is dependent. That's why it is called dependently arising. So everything arises dependent on the previous link, depending on the previous cause. So therefore, there is nothing called completely independent. So all these results are dependent. So in this whole condition realm, the condition world, so there is nothing completely independent or unconditioned. So everything is conditioned. Everything arises because of various causes. And also we need to remember, it is not a single cause which is every time highlighted or every time participating, but here in the formula we highlight a single cause that is to easily understand. Now say for example the feeling arises. So we say the contact is the cause, but it is the most prominent cause or the proximate cause. But there may be various other causes, but most important cause is actually the contact for feelings to happen. So likewise, for each result to happen, there are various other contributing factors, but we are here single out one important cause so that we can easily understand the flow, we can easily understand the dependent arising. Now that is one important thing that we need to understand. So this idappacceta, so this principle is utterly important. It is more than we remember all the 12 links, but it's more important is the, or most important is this principle. Imas ming sati idang hoti, imas uppada idang uppajjati. Imas ming asati idang na hoti, imas nirodha idang nirujjati. Now, if we consider the practical side, so how are we going to understand this principle practically? Let's say we are practicing Vedananupassana. So there we can try to look at what is the cause for the feeling. So how the feeling is completely conditioned depending on the contact. Say for example, you are simply walking on the coir mat. So you start feeling some kind of a sensation. And your sensation is dependent on the coir mat. Now suppose you step into the tile floor. And now you are walking in the tile floor. Now you have a different feeling. So which is deciding or determining the quality of your feeling? So that is the contact. So when you are walking on a gross surface, so you feel one type of a feeling. When you are walking on a refined a tile floor, then you have a different kind of a feeling. Because the contact conditions the feeling. So therefore, it's a very simple point actually what I am highlighting here. So every time the feeling is dependent on the contact. Contact decides what kind of feeling that we will experience. So this is actually further explained in the Nandakovada Sutta. So when Venerable Nandaka asked from the bhikkhunis about this principle, so they explain. Tajjan tajjan passam paticca tajja tajja vedana upajjanti. So that means depending on each and every different kinds of contact, corresponding or different kinds of feelings are arising. So the contact is the deciding factor. Now when you are walking, if you are able to apply this principle to understand, so to apply this phenomena to understand this principle, then that is where we are kind of exploring this principle. How the feeling is dependently arising. It is not under our control. So the feeling is dependently arising. So feeling is beyond our control. Rather, it is fairly dependent on contact. So the necessary important factor is the contact. So depending on the contact, the feeling varies. Now, while walking or while experiencing any other feeling, so you can see how the corresponding contact is conditioning the resultant feeling. So this way we are going to the kind of a we are using the yoniso manasikara, or we are developing the yoniso manasikara. So rather than being simply superficially trying to understand the feeling, now we are looking back, we are going to the cause, we are going to the root to understand the corresponding or the conditioning factor, that is the contact. So the contact causes or contact influence the quality of the feeling. It is the main influencing factor. Now not only that, now assume that you are slowly understanding the different kinds of thoughts, and you are into the maybe Chittanupassana, and probably you can try to understand how different desires arise depending on the feeling. Vedanapachya tanha. So the tanha, different cravings, different desires arising in the mind when a type of feeling arises. So feeling has a great influence towards the tanha, towards the craving. So Vedanapachya tanha is another kind of a link that we can understand through the practice. Particularly when you are into Chittanupassana, you can try to understand that condition. So how before the arising of a certain desire in the mind, before the arising of any craving in the mind, how the corresponding or the previous feeling has made a kind of an impact. Say for example, you are experiencing some kind of a pleasurable feeling. So it's really pleasurable and you feel like uplifted. You feel like elated and you start desiring it. Rather than letting it go, you want to keep it for a long time. You want to experience it for a long time. And even you want to have it tomorrow. So likewise, for your desire to happen or to arise, so this previous feeling actually has a great influence. So the feeling is the most important factor for this desires to happen. On the other hand, suppose you are experiencing some kind of a painful feeling. Now, immediate reaction is that I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. So you are reacting, you don't want it. So the desire to get rid of that particular feeling is now arising. So therefore, desire to get rid of is another type of a desire. So you have an kind of urgency. I want to get rid of it. I want to get out of it. And instead, I want to have a pleasurable feeling. Now, this painful feeling is not good. It's torturing me. Let me have a pleasurable feeling. So we have kind of two sides of the coin. So while we are rejecting or having a repulsive attitude towards the painful feeling, we also have a kind of a desire for a pleasurable feeling. So we have only that alternative. We think that is the only alternative. So likewise, typically when our mind ignorantly continue this dependently arising path, so basically it continuously trapped in these links. Whenever there are different kinds of feelings, accordingly we arise different types of desires, either a pleasurable or either a wanting, either a desire, either a craving to have it, to get attracted to it, to hold it, to make it mine, to possess it, or to reject it, to get out of it, get rid of it. So likewise, the desires are completely dependent on the feelings. So likewise, we can look at the governing principle. So that governing principle is the most important thing. Idappacheta. And Buddha particularly highlights that it is very, very important to have it. Upadava tathagatanang, anupadava tathagatanang, tithavasa dhatu, dhamma titata, dhamma niyamata, idappacheta. So he can give a kind of a example for this principle, and then about the principle he highlights, upadava tathagatanang, anupadava tathagatanang. That means either a tathagata, either the Buddha arise to this world or not, tithavasa dhatu. So this principle is the governing principle. Tithavasa dhatu. Dhamma titata. So this is the kind of the dhammata, kind of the governing principle of this whole system. Dhamma niyamata idappacheta. This happens because of this. Literally, idappacheta means this happens because of this. Tathagato abhisambujjati, abhisameti. So to that principle, the Buddha basically put his attention and he thoroughly understand it and he comprehend it. And after he comprehend it, thoroughly understood it, and achikkanti deseti panyapeti pattapeti vivarati vibhajati uttani karoti passathati chah. So then he mentioned, so after he realized thoroughly, properly, then he opens it to the whole world and he explains it. he preaches it, and he properly try to little simplify it so that others can understand it. He opens it up. He divides into various different pieces so that others can easily understand it. And then he say, okay, just look at it, observe it, investigate it. So very interesting way that he put it in the Paccaya Sutta in Saṅyutta Nikāya. So how, as the Buddha, once he realized this Parisamuppāda, he is trying to simplify it, explains it, he divides into various pieces and try to analyze it so that we can understand it. So this is for our own understanding. He is trying to sort of give it as a kind of a formula so that we can understand it. And then there are a few things that I like to include here. Now, it is very important to understand the principle if we want to even attain a sotapanna. Now, you know that certain conditions or prerequisites or certain skills are there attributed to a sotapanna, the stream winner. One skill attributed to a sotapanna is this understanding of the iddhappacceta, understanding of this governing principle. Katamocha auso ariyo nyayo panyaya sudhitto hoti suppati viddo. So this is explained in the Pancha Vera Bhaya Sutta in Saṅyutta Nikāya, I think in the Nidāna Saṅyutta. So there Buddha explains that the sotapanna has certain qualities, and one quality is his thorough understanding of this iddhappacceta, this particular principle. And panyaya sudhitto hoti suppati viddho, and he has seen it through his wisdom. He has properly, clearly seen it through his wisdom. Not only simply seeing, sudhitto hoti, that means he has thoroughly seen it, properly seen it, completely seen it. Suppati viddho, he has penetrated it. Idagapati ariyasavako paricca samuppanyeva sadukhaṁ yoniso manasi karoti. So he realizes the governing principle. Okay, this is how things are happening. Iti imasmin sati idang hoti, imasmin asati idang na hoti. Imas uppada idang uppajjati, imas nirodha idang nirujjati. So basically he again reiterates here in the Panchaveda Bhaya Sutta, so their governing principle. Yadidang avijja paccha sankhara, sankhara paccha vinyanam, vinyana paccha namarupa. So likewise he explains. So typically when we are ignorantly operating, so this samudaya side, the arising side, actually operates in the mind. So we don't need to think that this principle is applicable between the two lives, or rather three lives. So if we think that the Parisamuppada only operates when we are born to this world, and again once we are passing away from this world. Say for example, when you are passing away from your previous life, Parisamuppada principle has operated, that is why you are born to this life. That's also accepted. And similarly, when you are passing away from this life, if you happen to get another birth, that's also because of the Parisamuppada principle, operating of the Parisamuppada. But how about the present life? So during the present life also, when we are ignorantly operating, the moment we are ignorantly operating, whenever the ignorance is predominant in the mind, continuously this Parisamuppada principle is operating. So therefore we should not limit the Parisamuppada to the three lives. Rather, again and again we need to look at the operation of the Parisamuppada whenever we are ignorantly participating into a particular process. Say for example, you are simply reading a book and you feel bored, and after a while you get a thought about an ice cream, kind of a motivating factor. So you get a certain image about an ice cream. So your mind now shows you a beautiful, really delicious type of an ice cream. So it's a mere image right now happening in the mind. Now, once it is happening in the mind, you get deluded to it. You are unable to see it as a mere perception, mere mental image. Rather, you immediately identify it as an ice cream. It is something that I like it, I want it, I feel bored, let me have an ice cream. So now you start thinking about it. Now, once you are being thinking again and again to some extent, now you can't simply keep it to the thoughts. Now you need to react. Now you get up, now you go towards the fridge, you are looking, now you are opening the fridge, you look at it and you see the delicious ice cream is there. You take it. Now all that are actually the salayatana, the operation of the other sense bases. Previously it is only the vinyana and nama rupa. So into your consciousness there is a name and form appeared. So at that time the name and form represents an ice cream. But rather than we looking at it as a name and form, we looked at it, we ignorantly, we further fabricated it, we applied a name to it, we remembered our past experience, we included that also, we did a real fabrication. Now that is where avijja and sankhara participating into the picture, and now it is growing to an extent where the salayatana needs to operate. You can't simply keep it to a mere mental activity. Now you need to get up. So that is where the salayatana comes to kind of an operation. There are the nama rupaccha salayatana. Now you get up. Now you are walking towards the fridge. Now you are opening it. Now you look at it. And you are taking it. Now you open the lid. You take a certain amount. Now you start eating it. You are tasting it. All the different kinds of ayatanas, sense bases are now participating into the picture. Salayatana paccha passu. Now you are going through different kinds of contact. Now suppose you are eating it. Now the contact happens particularly in the tongue. As a result of that, you feel delighted. And certain delightful, pleasurable feelings are arising because of the contact. Now you start wanting it further. You want more. I like it. I desire it. I crave for that. I have a greed about it. Now that is where the feelings creating or conditioning the craving. Now suppose you even close your eyes and you are into a completely different world and you are enjoying each bit of ice cream. Now that is where the bhava. You grasp that experience. You are born to that experience. So basically, while eating, you are completely absorbed to it. Completely at a different realm, different world. You are not mindful. You are taken away from the mindfulness. You are taken away from this world. You are in a completely tasty world, we can say. That is where you are born to that experience. So through the mind, you have born to a new experience. And ignorantly, you are born to that experience. That means grasping causes existence into a new experience, and you are born to that existence causes jati, the birth. And while you are there, you are enjoying it piece by piece, little by little, and ultimately it ends. You end up with again the boredom. Again, jara marana dukkha domanasa, so those are there. Probably you want more, but now the ice cream is over. You have completed it. You have completely eaten it. Now you're a little worried. Maybe that also can happen. So likewise, whenever we are ignorantly operating through our daily activities, at different occasions, we are completely under the influence of this parisamuppada. So you need to look at your mind to understand how these links are operating. So therefore, it is not that we are waiting to learn this principle till we die to understand it. Rather, again and again, we need to see how we are ignorantly went through this parisamuppada. So as we practice, as I mentioned earlier, as we practice, so slowly, slowly these links become apparent to us. So how desires are arising based on different feelings, how contact causes feelings. So likewise, we start going towards the earlier links, and even when you are fairly capable, you may be able to understand how the vijnana and namarupa are functioning each other or conditioning each other. That is another very important aspect actually highlighted in certain suttas, where now all the other links are only forward links. Say for example, namarupa paccaya salayatana, salayatana paccaya passo, passa paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanha. So kind of an influence coming from the previous link to the front link. But when compared to vijnana and namarupa, so they are having a interrelationship. Vijnana paccaya namarupa, namarupa paccaya vijnana. So that's a very special link that we need to understand. So they are interdependent. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa, namarupa paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa, namarupa paccaya salayatana. So there's a kind of a circulation, a whirlpool happens between vijnana and namarupa. So vijnana is dependent on name and form, name and form is dependent on vijnana, the consciousness. Actually, this link is difficult to understand also. So that is where the ignorance is participating. So this interdependence between vijnana and namarupa is difficult to understand. Now, for example, when this is explained to one venerable by Venerable Sariputta in the Nalakalapi Sutta, so he asks, Pante, can you give an example to explain this principle, this interdependence? I think this is to Venerable Kottita that Venerable Sariputta was explaining it. So, and then Venerable Sariputta gives a very beautiful simile. Sayatapi also de nalakalapio anyamanyang nisaya titteyo. Eva mevako also namarupaccha vinyanang vinyana paccha namarupa. Just as two sheaves of reeds might stand leaning against each other, so too, with name and form as condition, consciousness comes to be. With the consciousness as condition, name and form comes to be. So he is taking a typical example of how a sheaf of reeds, a sheaves of reeds is leaning each other. Now say for example, someone is going to the forest, he is cutting some old rotten type of reeds, bamboo reeds, and now he binds as a bundle. Now he has two bundles, and without falling them, he want to keep them straight. So how he does it? Basically leaning one to the other. Now one depends on the other. So if assume that it is A and B, so A depends on B, B depends on A. If we take out A, B also falls. If we take out B, A also falls. So they are interdependent, interlinked, intertwined. Likewise, he mentioned, similarly, vijnana depend on namarupa, namarupa depend on vijnana. This is a very, very important aspect that we need to understand when we are talking about parisamuppada. So as we continue our practice, particularly cittanupassana, dhammanupassana, more and more we start understanding various operations, some subtle activities happening inside the mind, and you become so immediate. Rather than going to the some future or rather some gross results which is happening later, you are coming more and more towards the immediacy. You are using the Yoniso Manasikara so that you are coming very earlier links, how ignorantly the fabrications are happening inside the mind, and how that causes the consciousness to again establish. And at that time there are various name and form, various mental images, a subtle perception, subtle feelings are operative in the mind. That also helps the consciousness to establish. A kind of a whirlpool is now formed, one after the other, one after the other, kind of a circulation, kind of a whirlpool being operated. So that is now developing the momentum, and once it reaches to some extent, you can't simply keep it to the mental realm. Now you are even physically want to react. That is where the salayatana, the sense bases, are comes to be. So likewise, we can look at the operation of the parisamuppada. That is very, very important. So the interesting thing is, as we practice, we may be able to understand the cessation side also. Say, for example, you have practiced satipatthana, cittanupassana, dhammanupassana, and now you are able to maintain a mind without grasping. So you are not grasping now. That means the parisamuppada, that cessation side has happened. So certain amount of wisdom has arisen in the mind instead of the ignorance. Now you have wisdom. So that wisdom has cut off the fabrications, suppressed the fabrications, stopped the fabrications. Now vinyana namarupa, now they can't operate like before. So your mind has become fairly cleansed, fairly clarified, fairly spacious. It has become more spacious and almost like no object in the mind. Now the mind become almost like thoughtless. Now the sense spaces can't operate in such a background. So basically all the grasping and all such activities have stopped. So you are in a stillness. The mind has stopped. Mind is not moving like before, not fabricating like before. And you have gone through the cessation side of the parisamuppada. So that means each and every link what we are discussing are passing away. So they fades away as we practice. So don't think that all these links are kind of fixed links. Rather, as a result of the practice, they start fading away. That means, say for example, you are not born into a new realm now. That means you are not born into an ignorant experience now. You are not making any bhava state. Your mind remains calm, quiet, utterly in the present moment. Not making any fabricated, artificial type of a mental state. Rather, minds always associate the present moment. It is mindful. It is fully aware what's happening right now. Not fabricating any ignorant mental state. You are not born into an artificial, fabricated mental state. Rather, you are more into the present moment. So likewise, so as we practice satipatthana, as we practice vipassana, these links start fading away. They start disappearing. They start non-operative. But anyway, once again we become ignorant, again the grasping can happen. So the practice is to recognize this grasping, understand how things have went wrong, and again sort of correct it. Again, let things happen, let things go, avoid grasping, minimize grasping, again keep the mind quiet, again keep the mind still. Again, you are back into the cessation side of the parisamuppada. So likewise, as we practice, so this parisamuppada links has to fade away. So the forward cycle starts fading away. Instead, typically the cessation side has happened or operated in the mind. So likewise, we can understand various principles of this parisamuppada. So I think this is enough for today. So with that, I conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions. Keshan, are you there?
Yes,
Bhante. Right. Any question from our side? No? So no question from our side? Do you have any questions?
I can't see any hands. Okay, there is one. Rupika, you can unmute and ask the question.
Tirwan Sanai, Swami Mahan, sir.
Yes.
I just felt that I need to say something and clarify. What I find in the practice doing Chittanupassana for a very long time, I feel and I kind of realize through the practice that this whole loop, avidya, starts with ignorance, avidya, is about me, myself, and my and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the day you understand that it's not, seeing that every thought is made out of the five khandhas and happening moment to moment, then it reduces, and I'm in that process where I feel, and that's what I like to ask from you, then only that you can actually stop the round the 12 links happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because as if you take as I, as soon as I becomes, the whole 12 links happen, whether mm-hmm. you like it or not. I've seen it over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand there's no I, mm-hmm. which is the avidyava, and that's the first link in the 12 links,
mm.
then you start to see it as the five khandhas happening moment to moment. Mm. So therefore, I feel I can't explain, because if you try to explain, it becomes I. Again, it's very difficult to explain that something is happening within and there is no self. It is a bit difficult.
Mm-hmm.
When it's I, the whole thing you can't actually explain, because it's linear fashions, then I become I'm telling. It's there's no I to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But what I feel and realized is that the whole start of this is, the first link is avidya,
mm-hmm.
and the avidya is taking as I.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you take I, then the 12 links are happening.
Hmm.
But when you see the Chittanupassana, through the Chittanupassana over and over and over and over again, for a very long time, you start to see these things as the five khandhas happening,
mm-hmm.
moment to moment, opening and disappearing. Would that, my, is any comments and to guide me or help me?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. What you are telling is correct. So we basically have that wrong view that there is a self, there is a person, there is I. So that is typically mentioned as the manyana. So the Buddha used the term manyana. So the manyana means that we perceive that there is a self and there is a person, there is I. So ignorantly we perceive like that, and accordingly we start thinking, we start operating, thinking that there is a person, thinking that there is an I, there is a self. So that is the term manyana, typically used in the Dhamma. But anyway, as a result of the practice, slowly, slowly, we experience certain periods that there is no I present in the mind. You can't find out an ego operating. You can't find out a presence of a sense of an I happening right now. So the mind experiences a different kind of a realm, different kind of a domain without a self. So one can operate without a self. Previously, we are again and again conditioning this self, or we are promoting this self and identifying again and again with either what we belong to or what we acquire. So likewise, we start making a self. But now making a self become less and less. I making and mind making become less and less. So as a result of that, you are experiencing certain periods, a selfless period. There is no self, but the living happens, but without the self. Experience happens without an experiencer. So likewise. So as you said, the moment a self again appear, I again appear, you start kind of a friction. You start feeling some suffering. You start feeling some kind of a frustration, kind of a burden. But when there is no I, there is no sense of I, again you are back to normal, you are very calm, quiet, maybe with a smile, you can continue.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not only when I'm in meditation mode, it's quite different to the experience one would have through samatha, where it's one-pointness and all defilements are suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this moment to moment, when I'm by myself, I feel the spaciousness and everything. But as soon as I open my mouth, it becomes an eye. Mm. And I'm still not struggling, but I can laugh at myself. There you go. Because words makes it very confusing. And and if somebody else is speaking, then you have to answer, and that reality. So a long way to go, Bhante, but it is nice experience and very fun feeling also. And as Venerable Dhammajiva Swami Vansa says, selankarya or something,
yeah,
to be naughty. And you know, it is nice because you can laugh at your own self, and you can, when you're by yourself, you can feel that spaciousness and quite a beautiful feeling. But at the same time, if you open your mind, then you are trying to convey your perception. And that is the whole 12 links come into place.
Correct.
The conversation or you know anything you... Because you have a liking, it, then there's grasping or there's tanha.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, you know, perception and the sankhara you have to express.
Yeah.
And say, you know,
so basically, basically this upadana is a prerequisite for I to happen. Upadana is a prerequisite for I to happen. So whenever a presence of I, identification, sense of I is there, so we can look back. So what based on what am I having this self view? So am I using my skill to prepare a self? Am I using one of my belongings to prepare a self? Am I using a previous action to prepare a self? Am I grasping a future event to prepare a self? So likewise, we can look back and see what is the condition that I am using to prepare this self or fabricate this self. So we can use the Yonisoma Manasikara whenever we are having this sense of I. We can look back and see based on what have I prepared this now. Based on what the sense of I has happened. So the grasping is a prerequisite for sense of I to happen. Upadayatiko auso ananda asmiti hoti no anupadaya. So that is a governing principle that Venerable Punnamantani Putta explains to Venerable Ananda, that every time this sense of I, the asmimana, to happen, upadana is a prerequisite. The grasping is a prerequisite.
In the real world, Bhante, when we are speaking, it's about expressing a like or dislike. Because you go to the shop, you're buying something, and sometimes you're buying a big item, or you want to bargain because you want to pay less, because all that little thoughts, there is, you know, the tanha, because you want to get a better deal. That's just an example. Or anything, you know, you want to go to the shop and choose a chocolate from this chocolate to differing and choosing another chocolate because you like this flavor. That also, there is a tanha over the two chocolates. So very clearly you can see, but as soon as, and the pain is something that I can say very much, I have injured my knee due to some exercise long time ago. And as soon as I think my knee is paining, it starts to pain. But as soon as the pain comes, and I just look at the pain as pain, and within seconds the pain has disappeared. I know there is a big the problem in the knee problem, and if I go to the doctor, he will want me to take x-rays, and it will become a big major operation, because I know, because I can't climb incline. As soon as I climb the incline, I get a pain. But even that, so I'm managing being kind to my knee. I mean, one point in time I might have to, but it just shows that as soon as I say, oh, my knee, when walking and suddenly the pain comes over my knee, the pain gets intensified. But as soon as I just see pain and there's no self, it's just pain. It's hard to describe, but the pain kind of, within seconds I am doing something else, and you know, there's no pain. So it's just, I just wanted to ask that this is the whole thing is, the whole pure links happen because of this I, isn't it? But that's until you get to, you know, realize that there is no self and see it as the five khandhas, there will be always the links happening. Mm. And the reverse of the links will happen only when you understand.
Hmm. Correct. Yeah. I can agree with you. So that's why Buddha emphasizes the dhatu. For example, we already discussed dhatu kusalata. So that means all that emphasize the non-self. So the certain process can happen without a participation of an agent. The sense basis can operate without a participation of an agent, without a participation of a self. But we can't immediately understand it because we are ignorant. So a certain amount of an ignorance is operating every time in the mind. So at that time, the self is there.
Yes. Yeah. When that realization comes, then you see the dhatu. Dhatu is talking to a dhatu.
Mm.
It takes such long time, but I want to say is this is beautiful when you start to realize the Dhamma for yourself, rather than just being on the surface for me. It just gives such joy to see that this, what Buddha has said, is so incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
And when you see through the Cittanupassana, you really appreciate the
teaching.
Buddha's teachings.
Exactly.
And there's no words to express that.
Yeah, exactly. I fully agree with you. So actually, because we can't understand the Buddha's teaching, we can't find its beauty. But the moment that we start to understand the teaching, then we find how beautiful it is and how valuable it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day, every moment to moment, it's you can apply all sorts of tools that Buddha has given us.
Hmm.
But it takes time to fully enlighten, to be an enlightened being. But you know, you are seeing the joy. At least the next moment, you know, it gives inspiration to the next moment to be a bit more, you know.
Mindful.
Anyway, thank you so much for Swaminarayan sir.
Teruvan Sannai. So we have a question from our side. One moment.
Okay. Shall I ask?
Yeah, please come forward.
Okay. So my question is, Swaminarayan sir, does this Sotapanna person sees this Paticchasamuppada process in detail?
Mm-hmm.
This is happening, not like he knows this, or like he have read it in a book, like there is something called avidya or something, or like he had heard about this 12 links, or he has studied it for years and years, or like he sees it really, really clearly, like how the Buddha saw it.
Mm-hmm. So that is what emphasized in the sutta, where suditto hoti suppati viddho. So that means that parisamuppada, not only the links, particularly most important thing is that the principle, and he thoroughly understand. It's not superficially through a book that he logically through the reasoning he understood it, rather he has seen it, how it is operating within his mind. So again and again he has looked at the mind, again and again he has understood it, and thoroughly he seen it through his own self. How a self view happen, how the ignorantly a kind of sense experience happen, there again suffering happens, grasping happens, etc., etc. So he has seen it again and again in his mind. So that's why the terms like suditto, suppati viddho. Suditto means he not only seen, he's thoroughly seen it, comprehensively he has seen it. Suppati viddho means he has penetrated it. It's a kind of penetrative wisdom we are talking here. Because yoniso manasikara itself is a kind of a penetration. Typically what happens is we simply stop at the surface, superficial. But the yoniso manasikara helps us to penetrate, to see through. So that skill is something highlighted in the sutta, attributing it to a sotapanna. Okay, we can get into your side, Greshan.
All right. Thank you, Bhante. And the next question, I invite Geeta to unmute and ask the question.
Okay. Bhante?
Yes?
I want to find out a bit of detail about elements meditation. It's often mentioned, but I don't think I understand how one actually goes about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want an example of what happened yesterday during walking meditation, just to see if I'm on the right track. With the walking, normally I just feel the touch on my feet and the movement repeatedly. Yesterday, I noticed that I felt the touch, but I could also feel like the ground resistance.
Mm-hmm.
As if, normally I only see my side of the equation. But it was different. There was a sense of the resistance or the ground itself, the pressure there with my foot, and then of course the movement. Now that pressure, seeing it, brought to mind that this is the earth element.
Mm-hmm.
That pressure, that hardness that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And also just experiencing it, I could sense more of a connection of the earth element, just not my body, but just generally, you know, with the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is connection. So I don't know if this is how you do this and other ways of doing elements meditation, because I have not been taught formally.
Mm-hmm. No, what you're doing is correct. Actually, our approach has to be to develop mindfulness, to have a certain focused attention, that means the concentration, and maintain a good balance and keep experiencing or keep investigating these different experiences or keep investigating all these different sensations. So how we interpret it is basically, so we are experiencing hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness, different kinds of movements, vibrations, heat, cold, fluidity. So these are the most fundamental characteristics we are talking in the physicality. So these are the most fundamental characteristics. So that's why we call them as elements. So patavi dhatu, apo dhatu, tejo dhatu, ayo dhatu. So these are the fundamental characteristics of the whole physical realm. And so we are now into that, we have touched that, we have kind of a link to that, and we are continuously now experiencing them. Now later what happens, so there is no way for prepared I, and we can't even put a label, this is my ankle, this is my toes, this is my carpet. So those are also abandoned. Now merely you are experiencing the elements. It's a very interesting experience where there is no I, there is no kind of a possessor or belonging person, rather a mere experience is there. And as you said, inside also elements, outside also elements.
So the same can happen with any other element, you know, the fluid, the heat.
Exactly.
Somehow it can, it arises, then you are aware of it.
Exactly, exactly.
Don't sit down to focus on a heat element or earth element. When it comes up, you know.
That's also one thing. But anyway, now, if you are practicing Dhatu Manasikara during the sitting particularly, try to have a blend of many things. Not every time paying attention to the Patavi Dhatu, but try to find out some amount of heat element as well. A little bit of movements as well. Then you are, your mind start appreciating that experience, not fixated to a one type of element, but different experiences are there. That will be more interesting.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, there are no more questions, right?
No, there is no more question, but there is one message has been sent by Soma saying, thank you very much, Bhante. Very grateful for your teaching.
Okay.
I think those are the only questions we had, but I just want to ask a couple of questions if you don't mind, Bhante.
Yeah.
Something what very first individual who brought up, I think Rupika, brought up these questions. And when you go to a store and try to buy something and you try to select what is good, I think we all do that in comparison. And something that we can, if we can afford it, you buy. If you don't, you buy what you really need it. My question comes here, because of the selections that we do, because it has happened to me many times, I always try to see what is necessary and what I can sort of use it for a longer period, rather than just buying something and then once it breaks, to buy something else. So in this kind of, you sort of evaluate it as well. Certain ways we have that likings that we are bringing towards that. It's merely a utilization as well, the way that I sort of think, but not just for the sake of buying, you buy. And I'm kind of sort of debating on that, because today that question was asked as well. What advice you can recommend, how we sort of see to our minds, and are we sort of you know, always being very mindful when I do these kind of things as well? Is it because of our likings that we do things, or are we sort of asking the question, is there a need basis per se?
So at that moment, as you said, we need to look at the mind. And I mean, really honestly, mindfully, have to see whether is it I'm asking it, I'm wanting it, is it because really it is a need at home, or I'm being completely deluded because of the package, because of the wrapper, because of the its presentation, because of the advertisement. Because, you know, once you get into the supermarket, so many, many previous advertisements, previous experiences are operative in our mind. Even though there is no need, real need, we are tempted to buy something because its presentation is very beautiful, attractive, and the advertisements are also operative in the mind. So yesterday night you have seen a certain advertisement, so that good is right now available, that commodity is right now available. And immediately those advertisements start influencing your mind, promoting your mind to buy it. So assume that you have enough money and you immediately buy it without thinking twice. But if you are a little mindful, you can see, you can verify whether there is a real need for this particular commodity. Or am I simply being driven by the advertisement? Am I driven by the presentation? So likewise, it's a very interesting area for us to practice Chittanupassana, to look at how the ignorantly we start buying things. And once you take the home, take it home, maybe your wife start blaming you, criticizing you, and you start losing your money, and etc. also can happen. So that is where the dukkha domanasya upayasa sambhavanti.
Very good. Thank you very much, Bhante. I don't have any other questions from our side.
Yeah. Okay then. So we can wind up the session, and I cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Osada to conduct the sharing of merits.
Avasarai. Yet another auspicious occasion that Swami Nahanse has given us this talk, meritorious deed that is, and so may our relatives and all deities rejoice in these merits that we have accrued, and may all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Bodhisasana for a long time. May the seeds of Dhamma that we continuously receive grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. So let us chant the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits. Ettavata chammehi sammatam punya sampadam. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata chammehi sammatam punya sampadam. Sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata chammehi sammatam punya sampadam. Sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahindika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahindika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahindika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam go nyati nango tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam go nyati nango tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam go nyati nango tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyakammena mame bhava samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Yamina punya kammena mame bhava samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Yamina punya kammena mame bhava samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.